Tonight's shiur is titled Stories from the Gemara, the Sensitivity and Insensitivity of Rav Papa. So tonight we're going to look at a couple of stories brought down in the Gemara about Rav Papa that are just interesting stories. They're in line with the same theme of the other shiurim that I gave about stories from the Gemara because they highlight a very humanistic element to Rav Papa's personality. And actually I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago about this very topic, so it's very relevant for me. So if you look in source number one, we'll start there, and then we'll jump through different ideas, different ways of analyzing these stories about Rav Papa. So the first Gemara is Gemara Tainis Daf Tes Amud Aleph, and it says as follows: Rav Huna Bar Manoach v'Rav Shmuel Bar Idi v'Rav Chia Mivastanya. These three guys from the place called Vastanya. They used to learn with Rava. Rava was their teacher, and they would learn under Rava. These three men, Rav Huna, Rav Shmuel, Bar Idi, and Rav Chia. So, kinach nafshe de Rava, asu l'kamei de Rav Papa. So, after Rava died, they went to learn under Rav Papa. Rav Papa was actually a student of Rava and Abaye. So, after Rava died, his students, these three students, who were seemingly younger, went to learn with a new Rebbe, with Rav Papa. Kol Amos Dahava Amar Luhu Shmasa Velohava Mistavra Luhu Havu Maramzi Ahadadi. So what happened was, whenever Rav Papa would teach something, teach an idea, a thought, a concept, and the students, these three students, didn't really get it, they didn't really think it made sense, so they would look at each other and they would kind of hint to each other. So look at Rashi over there. He says, Mevastanya Ma'osa Makom. He says, Achvu Lahadadi Marin Umabitin Zelazed Delosaka Luhu Shmasa Karava. They basically were winking, hinting to each other that Rav Papa wasn't as good as Rava, that his stuff, his Torah, is not as good as Rava. So basically, while they were in Shir with Rav Papa, these Talmidim, these three students, were looking at each other and glancing at each other and giving off this impression that Rav Papa's not good enough. He's not as good as Rava. Chalash Daite. So what happened was Rav Papa was affected by this. He was sensitive to the idea that his students, his new Talmidim, were questioning how good he was as a Rebbe, and he got sick. It means that he was affected. We're in source number one, and it says Akruya Bechelme. He had a dream that night, the night that this happened. And in the dream, this pasuk was read to him. Va'achid Eshloshes Haroim. So Rashi, look at Rashi. Akruya, source number two, three, four lines down. This pasuk was read to him in a dream that night. I'm going to cut off the three shepherds in one month. Implying that Hashem wanted to punish these students for being mevazahim, for degrading him by killing them. Because they caused them embarrassment. So let's go back to the Gemara, source number one. It says, Lemachar, the next day, ki havu miftari minei amar luhu leizlu rabbanan bishlama. The next day, when he saw these three Talmidim, he said, go in peace. So that's what the Gemara says. So the first story is a weird story. The first story is that basically these three Talmidim of Rava, these from Vastanya, that was the name of the place that they were from, after Rava died, they went to learn under Rav Papa, and they thought that Rav Papa's Torah wasn't so good. So every time Rav Papa would give an idea that they thought wasn't that great, they would stare at each other, they would kind of glance at each other, and implying, and Rav Papa sensed it, showing him that Rav Papa wasn't good enough. He wasn't as good as Rava. And then that night, Rav Papa had a dream, and in the dream there was a pasuk read to him, and the pasuk implies that Hashem's going to punish them for what they did. And the next day he says, go in peace. So it's a strange story. We have to analyze what exactly the purpose of the story is, and what Rav Papa's sensitivity was in this situation, and what his response to them was. So we'll analyze that. And then there's one other story, and then we'll come back to the first story. The second story in this Gemara is also interesting. It says, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi Hava Shchiach Kamei de Rav Papa. So there's another Talmud of Rav Papa named Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, and he would learn under Rav Papa. Hava Makshi Le Tuva. He would ask him a lot of good questions. So Rav Papa was his Rebbe, and whenever they would learn, Rav Shimi would keep continuously ask him excellent questions. Yom Achad Chazia D'Nafal Ape. One day, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, he saw that Rav Papa was davening. Shame de Omar, he heard him say, Rachmana Litzlan Mechisufe de Shimi. He said, Hashem, can you save me from the embarrassment that Shimi is causing me by asking me all these questions and I don't know the answers? Kabil Alesh Sisikusa Vesulo Akshile. So Rav Shimi heard this, and he decided not to ask him any questions anymore. Look at Rashi. Kabel alav Rav Shimi shesikusam lahakshosod. He decided to stay quiet and not ask Rav Papa any more questions. Okay, so that's the second story. So we have two bizarre stories about Rav Papa. The first story is that after these three students left Rava, Rava died, they went to learn under Rav Papa, and they kept winking at each other. Whenever Rav Papa would give an idea, they thought that was incorrect. And Rav Papa had this dream that night, and the dream the Pasuk's read that Hashem's going to cut them down, he's going to destroy them. And the next day he says, go in peace to these three Talmidim. And the next story is about this student, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, who kept asking him a lot of questions. And Rav Papa, he overheard Rav Papa davening and asking Hashem to save him from the embarrassment of Shimi asking him questions and him not knowing the answer. And then Rav Shimi decided not to ask him any questions anymore because he realized that he embarrassed him. Okay, so we were talking about this. I was talking about this with somebody a couple weeks ago about the idea that when a person learns, there's not a dichotomy between a person's emotions and his mind, because you see that Rav Papa in this situation was the Rebbe, and yet he was still affected emotionally. He was embarrassed in these situations. But we still have to understand what was going on in the first story, and then we'll take up the second story. We have to define why the Gemara is teaching us this, what the purpose of the story is. So there's two ways of learning the first story. So again, the first story is the story with the three Talmidim. So let's look in source number three. One way of learning is the Marsha, and the Marsha is fascinating. He says, Nira devadai kenhu sheheru lo b'chalom sherotzen l'anshon b'shamayim al demichsefilek perish Rashi. He quotes Rashi that really the dream was some type of nevuah prophecy to him, to telling him that really Hashem wanted to punish them for what they had done to him, for embarrassing him. Of course, without this approach, I would have thought that it was an unconscious thing. And to me, it makes sense that when Rav Papa had this dream and he dreamt of this pasuk, he really wanted to punish them. But the Rashi, according to Rashi and the Rishonim, it sounds like it was really from Shemayim, that it was being taught to Rav Papa that these individuals deserve to be cut down. Ulamachar ki havu miftari le kiderech ha-talmid ha-niftar merabo. When they left him the next day, he said to them, Amar leh sheyelchu mikan lemakomam l'shalom. He said they should go in peace to wherever they were going. And basically, Rav Papa was endorsing the pasuk, this dream that he had, and he was telling them, basically, go in peace. But really what that meant was that Rav Papa was saying that the dream that he had, where the Shemayim, where Hashem was telling him that he wanted to punish these three students for embarrassing him and comparing him to Rava inappropriately, so he was endorsing that by telling them to go in peace. He was saying, you know, go to your place and this should happen to you. So it's a strange idea. I mean, it sounds like Rav Papa was really affected by this. And even though Rava was his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, when these students compared him to Rava and said he really doesn't know much, so it really affected him to the point where he even says to them when they leave, he's basically implying to them that they should be killed, that they should die, because that's the pasuk that he heard in his dream. So how do we explain that from a pshat standpoint? How do we explain, you know, or conceptually, how do we explain what he was telling them? What exactly is going on here? So I think that according to the Marsha's way of learning, we have to understand what the problem with these three students was. When they were winking at each other as Rav Papa was giving an idea and basically saying that he's not as good as Rava, what was the problem? So I think the problem, the Chavrusa, who's one of the compendiums of Gemara, he's an Acharon, he brings down a Gemara in Shabbos, and he says like this. Look in source number four. It's Shabbos Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Beis. It says, Amar of Yehuda, Lo Charva Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shebizu Ba Talmidei Chachamim. So Yerushalayim was destroyed only because of the chait that Talmidei Chachamim were degraded. Shenamar, it says, Vayu Malivim B'malachei Elokim Uvozim Devarav U'Mesadzim B'Neviyav Ad Alos Chamas Hashem B'Amo Ad Le'in Marpeh. So they were making fun of the Malachei Elokim, the angels of a god, which are the Talmidei Chachamim, the teachers, Uvozim Devarav, and they were degrading their words, Misatim B'Neviyav, and they were scoffing at the Neviim, Ad Alos Chamas Hashem, till Hashem's anger got aroused, B'Amo, on his nation, Ad Le'in Marped, till there was no remedy, there was no healing. My Ad Le'in Marped, what does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Mevaze Talmidei Chachamim, Ein Lo Refua L'Makasa. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, anybody who degrades a Talmud Chacham does not have a refuah, does not have a way to heal
his maka, his affliction, his wound. Okay, so the problem, according to the Chavruso who quotes this Gemara, is that really these Talmidim, these three Talmidim, were embarrassing Rav Papa by saying that he wasn't as good as Rava, and by doing so, they're really being mevazeh Talmidei Chachamim, and the Gemara says, anyone who's mevazeh Talmid Chacham, he doesn't have refuah lemakaso. There's no healing for his wound. So what does the Gemara mean? What does that mean, that there's no healing for his wound? A person who's mevazeh Talmid Chacham. So I think that that's the first point here, the first point in this year. So I think what's going on here is that the Gemara is showing us that when a person is mevazeh Talmid Chacham, so it's very difficult for a person to do tshuva. Refuah lemakaso is that when you're afflicted with something from God, if you're afflicted and there's a hashgacha that you should be punished, or if you're punished, it's very hard to get out of it by doing tshuva. Because when you're mevazeh Talmidei Chachamim, so there's an implicit distrust of Talmidei Chachamim, and you're not going to rely on them in order to do tshuva. You're not going to go to them in order to get advice on how to do tshuva. So a lack of respect for authority makes it much more difficult to do tshuva. And in fact, the Rambam brings this down. When the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, I didn't bring this in the source sheet, but the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva talks about various sins that affect man's ability to do tshuva. One of them is mevazeh chachamim. It says, no'alim darche tshuva. It closes off the paths of tshuva, meaning that when a person is mevazeh talmidei chachamim, so what happens is that they're unable to get, they're not able to accept tochacha, and they're not able to accept advice from these authority figures, so it makes it much more difficult to do tshuva, and therefore when they're punished, it's really difficult to remove themselves from that situation. So I think, according to this way of learning, Rav Papa was really affected by their insults, and he was sensitive to their insults, and the idea was that he recognized this reality. He recognized, and he was giving them this idea. He was giving them the concept that by doing this, they were losing out on their ability to do tshuva. So he was really teaching them, when he says Lech L'Shalom, and the Marshal learns that he wants the dream to be Meskayim, it's really an idea that he's trying to teach them or give them this concept that that really what they did was really damaging to their ability to do tshuva in the future. So it's really damaging for them to really perfect themselves if they by degrading Talmidei Chacham, by degrading him. So the second possibility, just one other possibility, is the Rambam. The Rambam says one other thing. He says, look in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Vav, Halach Yid Aleph. It says, Avon Gadol Hu Levazos Es HaChachamim O Lisanoson. So it's a great sin to degrade Chachamim and to hate them. Lo Charva Yishalayim Ad Shebazu Bazu Ba Talmidei Chacham Shneimar V'yu Malivim Malachi Elokim Vozim Dvar Masatim B'Neviyav. So he quotes the same pasuk as the Gemara. Klomar Bozim Melamdei Devarav. So they degrade those who teach his words. V'chein zesh amr Torah im b'chukosai timasu, melamdei chukosai timasu. If you degrade those who teach the chukos of Hashem, v'chol ha-mevazeh sachamim ein lo chelek lam haba. Anybody who's mevazeh chachamim lose out on their share in the world to come. V'harehu b'chal ki devar Hashem biza. It's because you're denigrating the words of Hashem. So the Rambam's saying a little bit different than the Gemara. The Gemara says, ein lo refuah lemakaso, that there's no healing to your wound, meaning that it's very difficult to do tshuva, it's very difficult to heal yourself from the flaw that you have, and really the concept that Rav Papa was teaching them when he told them to go was this concept, that really they're going to be punished, or there's an onesh, that really they deserve a certain onesh for being mevaza, and it's going to be difficult for them to really save themselves from the onesh. It's going to be difficult for them to do tshuva. But the Rambam is saying differently. The Rambam is saying that what's the chid of being mevazeh chachamim? He's saying mevazeh chachamim in lo chelek lo maba, and it's bichlal devar Hashem biza. It means that your relationship to God is affected, because really you're supposed to view chachamim as teaching the words of God, and when you're mevazeh them, it affects your ability to relate to the truth of God's words, God's wisdom. So anybody who's mevazeh chachamim, who denigrates, makes fun of a chacham, you can't really relate to God's truth and the truth of God's words properly once you do that. Because denigrating a chacham is somewhat equivalent in the person's mind to denigrating God, because they deliver God's words. So the Rambam is saying a different idea, that really Rav Papa was trying to, when he says go and that this should happen to you, the dream, he's really teaching them this concept, that really the level and the nature of this denigration was far beyond what they thought it was. They thought they were just winking in front of him, and so what? Big deal. But he's showing them that denigrating him is not just denigrating him personally, but it will affect their ability to learn and to understand God's truths and the truth of the Torah. So really, according to the Marsha's pshat, based on the story, is that Rav Papa was affected by this, and when he tells them to go away, he's telling them that this should come true, that this dream should come true, that they should be cut down. But really, I think underlying that is the concepts that he's trying to teach them as they leave him. He's not trying to be vindictive, but I think he's trying to teach them a concept that the level of denigration that you've done to me, or what you've created, creates this and that flaw. Either it creates the flaw that you're unable to do tshuva, or it affects your ability to do tshuva, or it affects your relationship to God. So he's trying to convey that, and that's what the pasuk is. That's what he's trying to teach these students as they leave him. So that's one possibility. But nevertheless, what you see from his story, which I thought was interesting, is that Rav Papa was very sensitive to this. And normally I think there's a misconception that, you know, a Rebbe is supposed to be, you know, hardened to this, and he should just be on the level where he's supposed to say, oh, who cares? You know, I don't care if somebody, winks in front of me and is comparing me to Rava. You would think that Rav Papa should be on a higher level, but the Gemara is saying that he was sensitive to this, and it really affected him. It was chalash daite; it affected him psychologically, and that's a reality that we have to understand, that that any student who's in front of a Rebbe has to treat him like he's a human being. But on the other hand, according to the Marsha, Rav Papa really held that they deserved an onesh, and that he was trying to give them some insight into their flaw by when they left. He was admitting to the fact that they were flawed, and he was trying to give them some insight into their flaw. So that's why I was bringing in the other Gemaras about how they were mavazah him. So in being mavazah him, they were either forfeiting their ability to do tshuva somewhat, or they were also forfeiting a certain relationship to God. Okay, so that's one possibility. But the other possibility is more positive. So if you look in the Svas Emes, in source number 6, it takes a different approach to what Rav Papa was saying to his Talmidim. So it says, B'gemara, ki havu miftere mine amrle leizlu rabbanon l'shlomo. The Marsha perish, and the Marsha it says, the amrle she yelchu l'makomam kadei she yiskai machalom, ayin sham. They should go to their houses, to their homes, to the place where they live, so that the chalom, the dream, with the pasuk that they should be destroyed, should come true. So he says, V'yoser nira lefarish, the Svas Emes wants to give a different idea. She'amar lehem she'yelchu l'rav acher. No, he was telling them that they should go somewhere else, go to a different Rebbe. V'lo yelamdu lefanav, and they shouldn't learn with him. Why? Al yedei shera she'efshar she'yunei nashim al yado, because he realized that they could be punished because of the way they related to him. D'lefichach hamarsha tema she'yirtze lehanisham, Chas v'shalom b'frat acher shira chalom marata o lehosif v'hu nir lani estaiti kasafti. So he says that he thinks the Marsha's pshat is difficult to understand, because how could Rav Papa really want them to be destroyed? So he's learning differently, that really Rav Papa understood from the dream that they really deserve to be destroyed, and he was telling them that you shouldn't learn with me anymore, you should go somewhere else, because if you stay with me, it'll be worse for you. And but then he says in the end, in the brackets, Aflafia Girsa Lizlu Rabbanan Bishlama, Mashma Kiparisha Marsha, Kidarmina Bisof Moikata, and Daniftar Minachai Lo Yomar Locha Lech Bishalom El Lech Lishalom. But he says that the Pshat, our Gemara, it says Lech Bishalom, Bishalom. And you're supposed to say to somebody, if it's positive, Lech Lishalom, go to peace, not go in peace. And if you say Lech Bishalom, it's usually a bad thing. So he says the Marsha, there's more proof and the pshat of the Gemara, like the Marsha, but he wants to learn differently. So this Svas Emes gives a different approach. He says that Rav Papa was sensitive to this experience, but really he was able to overcome it. And really he should have been vindictive, or there was a part of him that should have said to them, or yelled at them, or said to them, this is what you've done to me. But instead he realized that it would be to their benefit to leave him and go to another Rebbe. So the other approach is really that Rav Papa was demonstrating a perfection here, that he was really affected, he was denigrated, degraded by these Talmidim, and instead of telling them to go away so that this dream comes true, because he recognized and was trying to imply the idea of the flaw and the concept of their flaw, it was the opposite. that he really was affected personally, but even so, he was able to overcome it and try to benefit them for their benefit, so that they shall leave him and they shouldn't be punished as a result of this. So two radically different ways of learning the story. Either a papa saw in this dream this pasuk, and he wasn't able to overcome it. In fact, the opposite. He was pointing out the flaw to them. Or he saw in this dream this pasuk, and instead he was able to overcome his personal feelings towards them and he told them to leave him so that they wouldn't be punished and that they wouldn't fall into this trap. So that's the other possibility. And there's a raya for this idea. It's a strange raya, but there's a raya that Rav Papa, nobody brought this in, but I found this Gemara later on. There's a proof that Rav Papa was really doing a positive thing, that he really overcame his personal sensitivity in this situation and did what was best for them. And the raya is as follows. It says that in the Rambam, in source number 7, it's Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Vav Halach Yud Beis. He says, "Afal pi shamavaze es hachachamim ein lo chilek lo olam haba." So even though a person who denigrates a chacham doesn't get a portion in the world to come, im bo edim shebizo afilu bidvarim chayev nidoy. If there are witnesses that a certain individual was making fun of a talmud chacham, you have to put him, you have to ostracize him. You have to put him in nidoy, which is ostracize him from the community, excommunicate him. Uminadin oso beistin barabim vikonsin oso litrazov. So the beistin, the courts, they ostracize him publicly and then they fine him. B'chol makom inosin oso lechacham. And then they give the money to the chacham that he was making fun of. V'amavaze es hachacham bedvarim afil la'achar misa minadin oso beistin. Even after the guy dies, the beistin, if somebody's making fun of a chacham who died, beistin can put him in nidoy, excommunicate him. Vehematir moso kishiyachzer b'tshuva. And when the guy apologizes and he does tshuva, they take away his excommunication. They remove him from his ostracization. Aval imaya hachacham chai. If the chacham is still alive, in matir moso achiyurt says zeshinidu b'shvila. The chacham gets to decide when to release the man, when to release him from his excommunication. So now here's the point. V'chein ha-chacham atmo menada lichvodo la'am aretz hefkir bo v'ein tzarach lo edem lo asra. A talmud chacham himself, if he sees somebody making fun of him, he can put that person in nidoy himself. V'ein matirin lo atzi yirtzes ha-chacham. And then he is in charge of being matir his nidoy. So he has the ability to excommunicate somebody who's making fun of him, and he can be matir it. He can stop the excommunication himself. V'im meis ha-chacham b'ayin m'shloshu matirin lo. If this chacham died who put him in nidoy, other people come and they're matir, three people. So the Rama, the imratza chacham limcholo veloni do harishus biyado. But the chacham doesn't, a talmud chacham doesn't have to put somebody in nidoy if they're making fun of him. But you can just be mochel. A chacham can be mochel on him being made fun of, and he can say, okay, I'm okay with it, and I'm not going to put you in nidoy. So the Rambam's saying that the appropriate action for a chacham is that when he's made fun of, he should take the students that are making fun of him or the individuals, and he should put them in nidoy, excommunicate them. But the Rambam also says that a chacham doesn't have to. So I was saying that there's a proof that Rav Papa was perfected or had, this is a demonstration of a high level of Rav Papa, and there's a Gemara later on in Moi Katan, and the Gemara says as follows. This is a funny Gemara. It says, Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Rav, Talmud Chacham Minada La'atmo Umefar La'atmo. That's what the Rambam said, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to put a person in Nidoy himself, he can excommunicate a person, and he can undo the excommunication himself. So Amar Rav Papa, T.C. Lee, Delosha Misi, Turba Marabanan Me'olam. Look at me. Rav Papa is praising himself. I never put a Talmud Chacham in Nidoy. Ela ki kamachayv Turba Marabanan Shamasa Hechi Avid. So what did he do to a young scholar who was making fun of him or making fun of a Chacham? Ki ha demimarava me'menu anigda de Turba Marabanan velo me'menu ha-shamasa. So they would give him malchus. They would, whip them slightly, instead of putting them in excommunication. But excommunication was actually worse than that. Rashi says, Malchus, Umalchus, Yafel, Lehem, Yoser, and Mishamasa. Malchus was better for them than putting them in excommunication. So what do we see? We see that Rav Papa was praised, or he praised himself for never putting anybody in Nidoy, excommunicating them. So really, in our story, back in our Gemara in Tinus, these Talmidim were making fun of him, and he had this dream that they were going to be cut down because of what they did to him. But nevertheless, he says to them, go away. So he doesn't put them in Nidoy. So you see from the Gemara that Rav Papa was on a high level. The Gemara's praising him, or there's a praise of Rav Papa that he was able to control himself and always be mochel on his own kavod, and he never put anybody in nidoy. So it's a proof, that Gemara is a proof that we just read, is a proof to the way that the Svas Emes is learning our Gemara. That really Rav Papa had a sensitivity to his Talmidim, but he was able to overcome it, and instead of being vindictive or putting them in nidoy or punishing them, the opposite. He said to them, you should go to a different Rebbe, just don't learn with me because you're not going to benefit from me. In fact, it'll be worse for you. So that's the other way of learning. So that's the first story about Rav Papa. Interesting story in the Gemara. So, by the way, just a side fact, Rav Papa, just on his life, he was an Amora. I said he learned under Rav and Abaye, and he was actually pretty wealthy. He was a brewer. He brewed beer. He brewed very good beer. So that's how he made a lot of his money. So that's just a side point on his life. I was looking, in doing some research on Rav Papa and his life, I came across that. And it's brought down in the Gemara that he was a brewer. That was what he did. But what's interesting is this Gemara, the first story. So two ways to learn the story. Either you learn that he was endorsing the dream, and he was trying to show his Talmidim, these new Talmidim, that the nature of their flaw, how dangerous their flaw was. And the other way of learning is, no, the opposite, that Rav Papa had a sensitivity to what they were doing, but he was able to overcome it, and he was able to say to them, listen, you should go somewhere else, just don't learn with me because it'll be bad for you. Okay, so that's the first story. The second story is just as strange, maybe stranger. And the second story is as follows. We read it in the source number one. And the story is, why don't we read it again quickly? So go back to source number one if you have a source sheets. It says as follows. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Hava Shchiach Kamed Rav Papa. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi used to learn with Rav Papa. Hava Makshi Le Tuva. So he would ask him a lot of questions. Yomachad Chazya Denafal Ape Shame Da'amar Rachmana Litzlan Mechisufe Deshimi. So Rav Shimi heard Rav Papa davening to Hashem, and he heard him say, Hashem, can you save me from the embarrassment of Shimi? So what happened was, Shimi accepted this upon himself to not ask any more questions. So what's the question on this? What's the question on Rav Shimi? So the question is, if anybody has the question, just stop me. Question is, isn't it a good thing to ask questions? I mean, we saw in a previous share I gave about Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that Rav Yochanan was distraught when Reish Lakish died because he didn't have anybody to ask him questions, and he missed the sharp questions of Reish Lakish. So why over here does Shimi, first of all, what's Rav Papa? What was his reaction to being asked a lot of questions that he couldn't answer and that he was embarrassed? And the second question is, what was Rav Shimi's response? Why should he respond by not asking questions? I thought if you're a Talmud, and if you're learning with a Rebbe, you're supposed to ask them questions. So let's try to understand that. So look at the Rambam. Try to answer that. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, Harav Shalamad Velo Havinu Atalmidim Lo Yichos Aleim VeYirgaz. So if a Rebbe is teaching his students and they don't understand what he's saying, he shouldn't get upset. Elchozer Vishona Davar Afilu Kama Pa'amim Ad Sheyavinu Omek Halacha. So the Rebbe should teach the idea over and over again until people understand the depth of the halacha. V'chein lo yomar atalmid hevanti v'hu lo haven. If a student said, he shouldn't lie and say, I understand if he doesn't understand. Elachozer v'shoel afilu kama pa'amim. So a student's supposed to ask many times. V'im kasa lov rabo v'ragaz. Yomar lo rebi torahi v'lomar anitzarech v'dayti kitzara. If the Rebbe gets upset, the Talmud should say, listen, I need to learn, and this is Torah, and I'm not as smart as you, and I just want to understand what you're saying. So the Rambam is strengthening our question. Shimi was asking his Rebbe Rav Papa many questions, good questions, and it's a good thing. You're supposed to ask your Rebbe questions. You're not supposed to hold back. And Rav Papa was affected, and he was heard davening and asking Hashem to save him from this embarrassment, and then Shimi stops asking questions. Isn't that a bad thing? So why would the Gemara be teaching us this concept that you're supposed to stop asking because your Rebbe is upset, or your Rebbe... The Rambam says the opposite, that you're supposed to continue asking. You're supposed to say to him, I have no choice. I have to ask you. I don't understand. So what's the answer? What's the answer? So the next Rambam, I think, gives us insight into maybe what this Gemara is teaching us about Rav Papa and Rav Shimi. It says, V'lo ya Talmud bosh mechavero. So a Talmud shouldn't be embarrassed in front of his friend. Shalomdu mipam rishona oshnia v'hu lo lomad ela achar kama pamim. So you shouldn't compare yourself to your friend. If your friend is quicker than you and he picks up something in one time and it takes you longer, don't be embarrassed. She'im nisbayesh midavar zeh nimtza nichnas v'yotze l'bis ha-medrash v'hu eno lomad klum. If you're embarrassed by this, you won't learn anything. Lefichach amrucha chama rishonin eina baishan lamad lomed v'lo akapta melamed. So a person who's embarrassed, he can't learn anything because he's never going to admit that he doesn't know something. And a person who's short-tempered shouldn't teach. A Rebbe who has a short temper should not teach. Bamed dvar mamurim, when is this the case? Bizman shelo hevinu hatalmidim, when the students don't understand hadavar mipnei omko, because of the level of abstraction. O mipnei daitan sheikitzar, or the students aren't as bright. Aval im nikar larav shehemis rashlin bedivrei Torah, if the Rebbe thinks that they're being lazy and they're not putting in the work to learn, and that's why they don't understand, chayv lirgos alayan. Then the Rebbe has to get upset, and he should embarrass them, bedvarim kedei lechadadam, to sharpen them. Ukeinyan ze amru chacham izrok mar betalmidim, lefichach ein roi l'rav lino kalish rosh lefina talmidim. Therefore, Rebbe shouldn't be too lighthearted in front of his students, v'lo lischok b'fneim, v'lo lechol, v'lishtos imam, k'deish te'im maso lan, v'yilamdu b'men b'mehera. So the Rambam says that when the student's asking questions, but the questions come from a lack of preparation or laziness, so then the Rebbe's supposed to get upset, and that's when he's supposed to reprimand them. So there's some insight here from the Rambam, which is that on the one hand, the Talmud is supposed to ask questions over and over again if he doesn't understand. But on the other hand, if his motivation or if he's asking because he's not really preparing properly, so that's inappropriate, and you're supposed to address that. In fact, so I think the story about Rav Papa actually reminded me of a story that I had in yeshiva. But the story of Rav Papa, I think, is that Rav Shimi was asking questions. But Rav Papa, it says that he was embarrassed. So Rav Papa, it sounds like Rav Papa sensed that the purpose of Rav Shimi's questions or the source wasn't because he wanted to understand, but it was partially to break him down, to try to be aggressive towards Rav Papa. And Rav Papa sensed this. And that's why he says to Hashem, you know, save me from the embarrassment of Rav Shimi. But when Rav Shimi heard this, so he understood that the source of his questions weren't legitimate. It wasn't a legitimate desire to learn because he didn't understand, but rather the source of his questions were to try to prove to Rav Papa that he didn't understand, that he wasn't able to answer. It was almost there's an element of Rav Shimi's questions that was sourced in a desire to break down Rav Papa, and only when he heard the embarrassment of Rav Papa was he aware of the source of his questions, that his questions weren't really questions from the standpoint of trying to understand, but there were questions from the standpoint of trying to break down. And I actually remember once in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva, so we had this situation where guys were learning in shir, and guys kept asking our Rebbe questions in the yeshiva. And at a certain point, he said, listen, the questions, it's good if you're asking questions. Like this Rambam saying, it's very good if you're asking questions because you want to understand. But if you're asking questions and the source of the questions is to break me down or to try to show that I don't understand, but you're not really looking for understanding or for insight, so then stop asking. Basically it's a bad thing. It's a flaw. It's a tremendous flaw. So I think that the second story of Rav Papa is similar, that really Rav Shimi, when he was asking questions, he wasn't aware of the fact that there was a tremendous aggression or attempt to try to dismantle Rav Papa. And only when he overheard Rav Papa davening and asking Hashem to save him, did it click to Rav Shimi that the source of his questions was really perhaps inappropriate. And only then could he figure out a way to stop himself from asking, at least. I don't think it means that he never asked questions because he was learning with him, but I think he was able to discriminate between the appropriate questions and the questions that were meant to try to show that Rav Papa was lacking. So both stories have a similar theme, though. Both stories are showing you that these Talmidim were trying to denigrate him, either through winking at each other, or even just subtly asking questions, trying to embarrass him, trying to break him down. And in these situations, just trying to show you how Rav Papa reacted. So, again, the first story, Rav Papa reacts one of two ways. Either
he recognized that the flaw that they were demonstrating was a grave flaw, and he was trying to show them the nature of it, or the opposite, that he was able to overcome his own sensitivity and send them away. Or the second story is trying to show us that when a person asks questions, you're supposed to ask questions, but it should only be sourced in a desire for, you know, to understand. But when it's sourced in a desire to break down the Rebbe or to demonstrate that the Rebbe's lacking and he's not as smart, so if that's the case, you know, you have to be aware of that and try as best as you possibly can to try to stop yourself from doing that continuously. Okay? So there's one other story, just quickly, one other story. It's also about Rav Papa, fascinating story, and it's a little bit of a different, kind of a different topic, but we'll just do it quickly. So the Gemara in source number 11 is a Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amar Aleph, and it says as follows, Rav Papa have a salik bit droga. Rav Papa was going up a ladder. Ishtame kare bai lemefal. So he lost his footing and he was about to fall, but he saved himself. Amar hashta kei nechayev man de sanilon. So he says, if this happened, if I had fallen, died, I would have been chayev. The same thing that would have happened to those who hate me would have happened to me. So my fate would be the same as those who are mechal Shabbos and who worship idols. So Amar lechia bar Rav medifti l'Rav Papa. So Rav Chia bar Rav said to, from Difti said to Rav Papa, Shema ani bal yadcha v'lo parnasaso. Maybe a poor person came to your door and you didn't give him money. Desanya Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer kolamalim einav minat tzedaka ki'ilu ovei avodas kochavim. So if a person turns his eyes away from giving tzedakah, it's as if they're doing avodah zarah. Ksiv hacha yishamer l'cha penya devar im levavacha b'liyal. It says over here by tzedakah, by shmita, if you don't give, that it's wicked. There's some wickedness in your heart. Ksiv hasam by avodah zarah yatzu anashim ne b'liyal. That's by your hanidachas. Mal halon avodas kochavim afkan avodas kochavim. So the word b'liyal is the same in both psukim. So it's showing you that there's a connection between not giving tzedakah, turning your back towards an ani, and not doing a vodazara. So you have to understand what the connection is. But why is this brought in by Rav Papa? It's a strange thing to say to Rav Papa. By the way, maybe it's because of this reason. So there's a story, the Marsha alludes, and we don't have to read it inside, but in 13, the Marsha alludes to a story about Rav Papa. So if you look at 14, this is the story. It's in Bava Basra, about two dapim before, Daf Tesam and Aleph. So the story is funny story. It says, Tana, Imaya machzir al psachim ein neskakim la. So the Gemara taught that if an ani goes from door to door, like we have nowadays, an aniyim always knock on your door and they ask you for money, you don't have to give him. So what does it mean? We'll see what it means inside. But he says, Ahu anya, dahava machzir al psachim. There was a certain poor person who would go door to door, the asa lekameh de Rav Papa. Then he came to Rav Papa's house. Lomas dakikle. Rav Papa shut the door in his face. He said, I'm not giving you money. So Amr le Rav Sama braid Rav Yava le Rav Papa. So Rav Sama said to Rav Papa, Imar lomas dakikle. If Rav Papa doesn't give him anything, Inish acharini lomas dakikle. Then nobody else would give him. Le musle, and then he'll die. He'll die of hunger. The Hatanya, Imaya ani amachsha besachim enis gakinlo. But then the Gemara asks, and Rav Papa asks, there's a brisa that says you don't have to give him, you're not supposed to. Amrle ein niskakin lo lamatana meruba, you don't have to give him a lot. Aval niskakin lo lamatana muetis, you still have to give him a little. So basically, the topic of this Gemara is talking about giving him from private funds versus the kupa, which is public funds. And the story in the Gemara is that Rav Papa said you don't have to give an ani that goes from door to door, you don't have to give him from the public funds, from the kupa funds, but he believed that you don't have to give him anything at all. But the story, according to the Marsha in source number 15, is that really you do have to give him, you should just give him a little bit. At least even from the kupa, you're supposed to give him a little bit from the kupa, from the public funds. So Rav Papa here, so Rav Papa really held that the halacha was that you're not chayiv to give the ani who went to his door. He didn't give him any money, he shut the door in his face. And he held that you're not chayiv to give the ani money from the kupa. And then he was showed by Rav Sama, that no, you still have to give him from the kupa, from the public funds, tzedakah funds, to an ani that goes from door to door, but you only have to give him a little bit, not a lot. And then when they have this story later on, where he falls off the ladder, so there's an allusion to the idea that perhaps Rav Papa deserved this, because he didn't give tzedakah to this ani that came to his door. So what exactly is the purpose of the story? So one other point in the share. So the purpose of the story, I think, is not just to bash Rav Papa, but in this situation, Rav Papa
at least a story showing that Rapapa demonstrated a flaw here. That on the one hand, Rapapa held that the halacha was strict, and that the halacha was that you're not chayv to give. But Rav Sama was showing him that in not giving, he wasn't making just a halachic decision, but there was an emotional element as well. And when you shut the door by an ani, so you're demonstrating a certain superiority to the ani, an inherent superiority, and you don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to so even if the halacha is like you, and even if you hold strictly that you're not chayv to give, but still there's an idea that you can't turn an ani away, meaning that you have to recognize philosophically that if you don't give an ani and you turn your back on an ani, you're really demonstrating a grave flaw. And in fact, the Gemara compares that flaw to the flaw of Avodah Zarah. So I think that the idea is that Avodah Zarah is based on man's superiority, meaning man thinks that he can decide who his gods are. He gets to decide that it's the rain god, it's this god, it's that god. He builds his own idols. So it's a demonstration of man's belief in his own superiority, and that he doesn't want to accept something above him, something greater than him. So here too, when Rav Papa didn't give, so what Rav Chiya Bar Difti is showing Rav Papa is that it wasn't just a halachic decision that he was making, but there was a flaw that existed there as well. And Rav Papa perhaps deserved to be punished because Rav Papa was demonstrating somewhat on a more minor scale the flaw of Avodah Zarah. He was demonstrating in not giving to the ani a certain feeling or sense of superiority that he felt he didn't have to give. So Rav Papa was being shown that was perhaps his flaw over there. So even though the Gemara is demonstrating a flaw of Rav Papa, the Gemara does that at times, but it's trying to teach us this idea that even if you can't just look at tzedakah in a purely halachic fashion, there's also an emotional component, and also there's a philosophical component. And here, the Rav Papa on the one hand felt like the halacha was his way, but on the other hand, by shutting the door on the ani, there was a flaw that emerged as a result of that, or in doing so. So Rav Chiya Bar Difti was showing him that there was a flaw that existed in that decision, in Rav Papa's decision. So that's the end of the share. So let me just summarize three stories that we did tonight on Rav Papa, all on Rav Papa. And they demonstrate sensitivity and insensitivity. So the first two stories are the sensitivity of Rav Papa, that he was giving shir, and in the first story, the three Talmidim were winking at each other, and they were saying, basically, to Rav Papa, you're not as good as Rava. And he had a dream that they should be destroyed. There's a pasuk read to him, and then he says to them, go in peace. So there's two ways of learning the go in peace. Either he's telling them the dream should happen, and you should be destroyed. So according to that, Rav Papa was basically accepting of their flaw, and he understood the nature of their flaw, and he was trying to hint to them or show them at least a little bit what the level of their flaw was. And we said that there's two flaws in Bizoy. One flaw is the idea that you're cut off from tshuva, it's more difficult, and the second flaw is that you're being mevazeh the Dvar Hashem. So those are the two flaws. The second point was the story of Rav Shimi, that Rav Shimi asked questions, and Rav Papa was crying to Hashem, davening to Hashem to save him, and then Rav Shimi stopped asking questions. So we said that there's two types of questions. There's a question for understanding, and there's a question to show that the Rebbe doesn't know anything. So Rav Shimi, he didn't really understand the source of his questions initially, and then when he overheard Rav Papa, it opened up his mind to the possibility that his questions were sourced in a desire to embarrass him and a desire to break him down. So once he did that, once he recognized that, he changed his attitude, and he stopped asking the same types of questions to Rav Papa. So, but those are the two stories demonstrating the sensitivity of Rav Papa in these experiences. But then you have the tzedakah story, where there's halachically Rav Papa felt like he was justified in not giving to an ani from the kupa, the ani that was mechazer al psachim, the ani that went door to door. But on the other hand, the Gemara is showing that there is a flaw that existed, an insensitivity, a superiority that Rav Papa was demonstrating in turning his back on the ani. And the Gemara is trying to show us that element of Rav Papa's personality as well. So Rav Papa was a complex figure in the Gemara, but these three stories highlight different elements of his personality. All right. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Don't ask too many questions. All right, have a good Shabbos. Anybody have any questions?